This has been an interesting week for me, and the reason I ended up with the focus on Isaiah 40 is that it seems to me just incredible how things are speeding toward a judgment. I believe God definitely is involved in what is happening in America. I know for 4 or 5 years I was indefinite about that, and I would say, I would tell you, I'm not sure what God's will is. I don't know what God's will is, and how can you say if you don't know? And unless God gives you a very clear revelation, which I have not had, you can't begin to presume that you know the will of God in something that's indefinite, which he has not spoken on. So I'm usually pretty careful about that. If I know, if I feel sure about God's will, what God's will is, I will say so. And you know, in the past, I've done that. This one is very confusing to me. I have been very rapidly reading a number of books. One that I suggested 3 weeks ago, I'm reading about 5 books simultaneously, usually, almost always. And I decided to concentrate on finishing that one. It's not fast reading. It takes some real effort and some real study. And I'm talking about the book Harbinger, which means a warning. This is written by Chaplain Kahn, C-A-H-N. He's a Jew. He is a Messianic Jew, a Christian Jew. He believes in Jesus Christ as the Savior of the world. It's profound. It's profound. I recommended it. I was going to ask tonight how many of you have read it. I don't believe I will, because I don't think there'll be a single hand. And I hate to embarrass myself and the whole congregation. Tomorrow morning, I'm going to go with great detail into that book, which I just finished yesterday, and share some insights that Chaplain Kahn has, or he refers to himself as Rabbi Kahn. And so we'll talk about that at length tomorrow morning in Bible class. Also a little test tomorrow morning. I think in the last 10 years, I've never had the Bible class without having a little tiny test for them. Some people are working on points to get free trips to the Holy Land, as you know. That's an inside joke. You need 5,600 points to get a free trip. Some are up to 65 now already, I think. And okay. Tonight, just before the service, Mrs. Dudek came in and gave me the latest information about her husband. And I mentioned to her, this is going to be a tough message for you tonight. The word is comfort. And how can you apply comfort when you're in pain? And you're discouraged, and you're distressed, and you're annoyed, and you're angry. Well, the answer is, you can. You can. God, in Isaiah 40, is trying to make a point that's so profound that it passes any kind of earthly despair or discomfort or sorrow or grief. And at first you might find that incredible to believe, but it's true. And I'm sure, you know, I've been thinking of something else. I have been giving my children, our children, sorry, Sylvia, when I say my children, you know I'm including Sylvia. I've been giving things to them on the assumption that it's better to do that. I'm talking about money. I'm talking about prized possessions. I'm talking about things of great value. Why wait till you're dead? You don't get much joy thinking about the fact, well, they're going to love this someday after I'm dead. Well, why not give it to them? Let them experience it. Let them see your joy in giving it to them. I'm having all kinds of thoughts like that. And about 6 months ago, I gave a prized possession of mine to Douglas. And it's in his office, but I decided not to use it tonight, not because I was afraid to go in his office to get it, but because I don't have enough wind to blow the stupid thing. Now that I'm talking about it, I probably should go and try it, but the ram's horn is a horn. It's called the shofar. In the Jewish worship, when that is blown, it irritates everybody. I wish I could blow that thing and irritate you tonight, because that's the message. That's the message. Isaiah and the other prophets, mostly Isaiah and the other prophets, are like watchmen on the wall. You remember the picture in the Old Testament? Watchmen on the wall. They are to watch while the people are sleeping. And if the enemy approaches, this shofar, this ram's horn, it is one of the worst sounding things. It's been several years now since I've heard it, but I can just imagine it. I can't imitate it, I don't think, but it's not like a trumpet, and it's not like a French horn or anything like that, not even like a tuba. It is just a startling, sharp sound that just pierces everything and totally irritates the people, wakes them up from their sleep. If they've been trying to get some meditation, totally disturbs them, totally irritates them. And that's the point. Wake up, get with it, listen closely, there's an announcement coming. And that's what Isaiah is doing here. Sounding an announcement. Comfort, comfort ye my people, says the Lord. Now, what's been going on in Israel? And I'm relating this back to Rabbi Hans, Kahn's, C-A-H-N, message. I agree with him completely. I may as well tell you now. I'll discuss this in greater detail tomorrow morning in the Bible class. I believe he has the right answer. America will go under. There's no question about it. Now, I don't know if it'll be next year, the year after, 7 years from now, 25 years from now, or 50 years. I'm not trying to be a prophet. But I believe he is right, because he demonstrates step after step after step what God's will is. God has never left his people go on and on and on and sin the way America is sinning. Never has happened before in the history of the world. God destroys the nation for their stupidity, their blasphemy, all of the sins that they refuse to repent of. Now, there's one basic thing about Israel. When God brings judgment on them, do they repent? The answer is no. Never. That's why Rabbi Kahn has tried to illustrate, and I think he's done a magnificent job of it, that 9/11 was God's first warning to America. What happened? Nothing. Any repentance? No. Any sorrow? No. Any humility? No. When that happened in Israel, Isaiah 9:10 is the Bible verse, the people rose up and said to Isaiah, "You tell God that we don't like what you're telling us from God. You're telling us to repent. We don't like that. We're pretty good. We're pretty good. We're a lot better than a lot of those pagan nations all around us. God ought to be tickled pink that we're so good." And they defiantly said, "We will build a tower higher. We will build the wall stronger, and we will produce cedars instead of sycamores." Sycamore is a measly old tree. Cedars are big, tremendously strong trees. And Isaiah brings that message back to God. God said, "I will destroy them." Now, the point is this. God always, always, always during judgment offers comfort. If you can comprehend God, especially in his Son, Jesus Christ, he must punish sin. He has to punish sin. That's why Christ had to come and be crucified. God cannot wink at sin and say, "Well, America's been terrible. All the pornography, all the adultery, all the swearing and cursing, all of the immorality, all the killing of babies, all of the evil. I can't excuse that. It must be punished," God says. He sent his Son to pay that price. And he gives his people a chance. Here's the warning. 9/11. Will you as a nation say, "God, forgive us"? Turn back to the ways of God? Say homosexuality is sin, just like you have said, God. Adultery is wrong, just like you have said, God. Immorality is wrong, just like you have said, God. Will America come back and repent? We know now the answer is no. Not even an inkling of it. Not even a tiny little bit. No one's even come up with the idea. We are defiant, just like the Israelites. We will build a tower higher, stronger. How dare anyone think they can attack us, even God? You don't understand God. We're pretty good people. Why should we be humble before you? You're just God. We don't even believe half of what you say, and half of our people don't even know about you. So we're just going to keep going our merry way, worse and worse and worse. Rabbi Kahn follows from that first persecution by the Assyrians. There are so many evidences of it, so much in the Bible about it. I can prove that to you tomorrow morning. Clearly, God is saying this to America. No doubt in my mind, and America is not listening. So it's coming. It's coming. I don't know when. One of the interesting things about Rabbi Kahn, when he gets the question, when will this be, when, that nobody knows. sometimes in the case of Israel, is 30 or 40 years before something happened. Sometimes 100 years before something happens. The next generation. But it always, always happens. Just like God said. He never skips it. He waits a while sometimes. So we don't know. But I love the chapter where he points out, what is the difference to you and me if it's 25 years from now or 50 or 150? Does that really matter? With God, there is no time. He points his finger directly at a person and says, what about you? You're dead right now. Right now. Are you in heaven or not? I asked that in a group of new people that I had this past week. You're dead. We were just, all of us, struck by a heart attack. We're all dead right now. How about you? Are you in heaven? What a question. Well, how about you? Are you in heaven now? I don't know. I ask another lady, are you in heaven now? I don't think so. I'm really not sure. I said, did you drive here tonight? Yes, she drove her car there. I said, I'm just telling you politely and gently, don't go out and get in your car and drive home again till you know the answer to that question. Because you could get hit. What is the most important question? When America will go under? It will go under. No question about that. But maybe not this year, maybe not next year. Maybe not 10 years from now. Maybe not 50 years from now. Do you understand I'm trying to back you off of seeing, That's not the point. The point is for you, it could be today. Could be tomorrow. Could be next week. Are you ready? Are you ready? God will bring judgment upon sin. He always does. Now, the point of the scripture tonight is, in the middle of that, God tells the prophet, announce to the people their sins are forgiven and comfort them. Comfort, comfort ye my people. Tonight, the message is, God's judgment is always there, and it's always right. But his comfort is always there multiple times more. Now, this is a profound message. This is the message of the prophets, and it better be what the people of God are hearing in this next 5 months, 10 months, 200 years. I don't care how long the United States lasts. The message had better be, God will comfort those who repent. And their comfort will be 5 times, 50 times more than the judgment. God doesn't enjoy judging people. He wants to save them. He sent his son to save people, not to condemn them, but to save them. Now, the evil of a nation, if it refuses to repent, it will be judged. There's no question about that. In God's timing, whenever he chooses, it will be judged. There are some people that think clergy like saying like I just said could be 50 or 100 years from now. They're saying, don't say that. You're kind of pussyfooting around. Tell the people it will be a judgment. And that is true. That is what God says. It might be sooner than later. It's up to God. But the point tonight is for you and for me, God's people, it will always be followed by comfort. Always. Never an exception. Always the comfort will be there, much more than the judgment. Boy, I've been struggling all week to get this point. How do you impress this point upon God's people? Yes, judgment is coming. You bet it is. How do you get across, but with that judgment will be God's comfort? I read one commentary that was trying to explain all this, and it said, whenever you see a tornado, or whenever you see a cyclone, wherever you see a city wiped out by fire or something like that, isn't it true that afterwards, after it's passed, that things are always better? And I started to remember some of the cyclones that I think they're called tornadoes when they're on land. Anyway, it's almost like a purifying, almost like a fire purifying, and then you erect something else or you build a new house or whatever you do, and the comfort returns. I was thinking of that in connection with our shepherd. And I told Mrs. Dudek, you tell your husband this tonight, it won't mean a whole lot to him because he's in pain and he's depressed and he's discouraged. And at that moment, all we can see is judgment. We are sinners. Our bodies fail us. We have a problem. Man, I could give you 100 times in my life where I've felt that way. More than 100 times. Good grief. Several 100 times in my life I have felt that way. Exactly the way he is feeling. When my illness or my condition or my problem would not go away. I have lain on the floor. That's not the right word. Laid, I guess. What's the word? On my face, on the floor before God with my hands spread out, saying, God, please take me now. I'm ready to be with you. Why leave me here in this misery? I've asked to die often to God because of the misery and the problem and the pain and the suffering. Who needs? I'm standing here right now telling you, God came, he delivered me, he comforted me. Comfort ye, my people. I don't care what your problem is or what your need is or what your mood is. If you trust in Almighty God and you're ready to meet him face to face, you know his son Jesus Christ is your Savior. He will either comfort you now or when he chooses, a week from now or a month from now or a year from now. Just as his timing for the judgment will be there, he guarantees you, it's God's promise, he will comfort you and me. He will never fail to do that, ever, ever, ever. I've told people through the decades that I've been here, I've told people, if you're in a long desert where you don't see the hand of God, it looks like you're crossing a desert. Nothing seems right. Nothing is going right. The longer the desert, the greater the blessing. I believe that. That's biblical. If you're in a long, serious, negative trend, believe me, it's because God's getting ready to overwhelmingly bless you. I've seen it. Over and over and over again. You tell your husband that. The longer the pain, the longer the suffering, the longer the discouragement, God's getting him ready for something. What for what? A blessing. A blessing. And as I was preparing this message and trying to think, how can I get this over to God's people? How can I make it clear that in the midst of waiting for judgment, there is that comfort of knowing God will not forsake us He will not forsake us. And my recollection took me back. It has to be 30 years ago. We had a cantankerous member here at that time. He wanted to question everything. He did question everything. And he would come to me every week. Well, God hasn't blessed me yet. It reminds me once in my life when I would have a phone message. That goes back 40 years. The same lady would call every day. God hasn't answered my prayer yet. Always the same lady, not from the parish. Finally, after 2 or 3 weeks of this, every day, phone ring, well, God hasn't answered my prayer yet. I was ready for about the 15th, 16th time. I picked up the phone. I said, just a minute, lady. I know it's you again. I got news for you. God has already answered your prayer. What do you mean? I said, just that. I think by now God has answered your prayer. You just don't understand the answer. Click. Phone went down. Couldn't deal with the truth. God wants to show love to his people. There will have to be a judgment against sin. And any nation full of sin is going to be judged. But God's people will be comforted. Our bodies are still in this earth. Our minds, everything about us. We can be in car crashes. We can be in sickness. We can be in a deathbed. I started to tell you, this cantankerous guy, every week he'd come back, and his prayer was, I want my father to be healed. And every week, well, God hasn't healed him yet. I said, well, don't try and tell God what he has to do. You said God would heal my father. I said, I believe he will. I'm not God, but I believe he will. And that went on for months. One day he comes, okay, now what do you say, Pastor? He's dead. And I smiled. I said, praise God, he's totally healed. He has no pain, no sorrow. He has a glorified body. And he just stood there and looked at me. You mean he's healed? I said, I told you he'd be healed. He's healed. He's in heaven with a perfect body. Okay, tonight, I think one of two things can happen. You can say, oh, judgment is coming, oh, woe is me, and the stock market's going to crash, and oh, we're going to have the whole thing is going to go under, blah, 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 blah. Or you can say, am I ready to face God right now, maybe tonight, tomorrow, whenever, and will I be found in him knowing that he loves me and he will comfort me? God will comfort you, and it will be way more than the judgment. Way more than the judgment. That's his promise. I have 6 other verses circled in my Bible here to point out to you. I'm going to say amen now. I've gone long enough. But please read that to yourself tonight. It's filled. It asks the question, who's going to be the counselor for God? Who's going to tell him what and when to do it? Who's going to give him advice and so on? Just read it carefully, prayerfully, and you'll see it just repeats over and over again. This is the one true God that has told you, announce to my people, I want to comfort them. Amen.